Well, I think that has to do with the number of receivers available in the draft and the comparisons between the top ones and the ones that may be in the second tier or whatever term you want to use there. It also probably is an indication that in last year's draft, it was much stronger at some other positions, and people felt like they'd be able to get a good player a little bit later on. We traded back out of the first round and were able to draft Jordy Nelson, and that's where we kind of wanted to pick him. That's where we thought we could get him, and we thought he was a good player.
It seems like the corner's defensive end has been the highest paid defensive end. If a guy like Haynes Gordon were to get a contract that vaults him to that fast, is that too big of a reversal of the trend, or if a guy's worth it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't speak to another player specifically, but in terms of just a generic position thing, quite frankly, the defensive line position, and I know the defensive end positions is a little bit more glorified with some more sacks and things, but defensive tackles have, since the onset of free agency, have always made quite a bit of money. Now, they might not have been right at the top in terms of the groupings, but no, that wouldn't be a remarkable surprise. Well, I think it's going to be a good move for him. He's a little more talented player than a lot of people think. I had a long talk with him last week. He's really looking forward to it. At the same time, you have to remember that in the NFL, you're playing your base package less than 50% of the time. So 55, 60% of the time, you're going to be in sub packages where he's going to have his hand on the ground anyway. So sometimes, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing him do it, and he's going to be pretty good at it.
How dramatically different is it to evaluate the D-line, particularly this year?
Well, there's some subtle differences. There's people that that we would normally look at as defensive ends, and now we're looking at as linebackers, just like all 34 teams do. There are guys that you would have normally looked at as maybe a defensive tackle, under tackle, like in a 4-3. Now those guys are more appropriately, assigned to a defensive end position. So it's subtle. But again, and I keep saying this over and over, and I might sound like a broken record, but football players are football players at the end of the day. There is no prototype absolutes in football. There are guys that don't fit the prototype. James Harrison is the NFL Defensive Player of the Year this year. He does not fit your prototype 34 outside linebacker, but he's a great player because he's a football guy. Now, there are exceptions, and there are ballpark numbers that you want to try to shoot for, because historically speaking, and your odds are better if you have these type players at these type positions.
How key is that size frame?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you do that, but you can't do it all at once. You're not going to just say throw your cards back in the deck and get a whole brand new deal. You can't fishy. You have to play with what you have. Over time, I've said this, I think over time, the Packer defense will see some size differentials as we go forward at different positions. But that will happen over time. And that will be calculated in the ratings. And I tell our local guys the same thing. They talk about, how does this change in your draft and all that. It doesn't change our valuation of the players. It might change that player's rating in terms of his valuableness to them. That's the wrong word. But his value to us. Well, no, you're always competing in the National Football League. It's a tough business. But it's not competing against players, because everybody's going to like players differently. Even though, we run a 34 and another team might run a 34, everybody's going to evaluate players a little bit differently. So we're just going to try to focus on what we're going to try to do, which is try to get good football players, and if they happen to fit a little bit better in a 34 now than a 43 in the past, then that's all the better.
When you put a team together, are you conscious of the team's chemistry now, character-wise and personality-wise?
Yeah, the question was team chemistry and character-wise. Yes, we do. It's a huge part of the equation. It always has been. It's not to say that someone couldn't have made a mistake in his past, but we try to do these interviews. We bring people up to visit. We try to get as much information as we can from them. It's very important to me personally. It's very important to the Packers in general, of the kind of players that we bring into our locker room. We think we've got a pretty good group.
Do you think winning develops chemistry, or chemistry is just exists itself and you're
a winner? I think chemistry helps in winning. I think it would be difficult to have really bad chemistry in your locker room and still win on a consistent basis. I think in the NFL, it's the ultimate team sport, and I think you have to have players that care about each other and are accountable to each other. I do. That would be a question probably more appropriately addressed to an owner, if you could see one of those guys walking around. There's real economic worries and problems out there in the real world. I don't think football is immune to it. I think all of us in positions of management have to kind of consider that as we go forward. We don't know what the end of this economic cycle is going to be. And I would suspect that every organization, every owner is in a little bit different position than the next. In terms of predicting if it will affect how things are done in free agency, I'm not smart enough to know that.
On trips, though, Chad, like, if you're scaling back on the amount of free agent trips or scouting trips that you've taken or bringing prospective
players out to Green Bay? Yeah, we have not done any scaling back as of yet. We're not a huge travel team. We normally, prior to the draft, in bringing guys in, if we need to bring a guy in for a physical and he's somebody that we're thinking about drafting, we're going to do that. We think that's cost effective because if we draft a guy in the fifth round and we don't have a physical and he comes in and flunks, that's a huge amount of money and a huge value that we've thrown away. So we understand the Green Bay Packers are the Green Bay Packers. It's a community-owned business. It stands on its own. It's very successful, but at the same time, those of us in management try to be cognizant of the fact that we have to do our jobs and represent in terms of what we're spending.
Do you concur with that, and what's your assessment of
it? The defensive back group is a strong group. The corners look like a strong group. Now, having said that, I'm going to say every group's a pretty strong group. That's sort of my answer to all these questions, so just so you know. But, yeah, it looks like a pretty good group.
Would anything in particular stand out about
that? I don't know. I think every year it's a little different. But you have some size guys that makes it a little bit easier against the kind of receivers that are coming in. We just did the heights and weights for the receiver group, and these guys are huge, you know. And that's the way colleges are putting them out. So you have to... There's a counter deal. No, I'm not sure I've seen all the recent comments, but no. No, I tell you what, I've done a pretty good job of staying away from that. Brett's a great player. We congratulate him on his retirement. And outside of that, you know, I don't think it's productive for me to comment. I told someone the other day, and this is just my opinion, that I'm not a particular fan of the overtime rule. I don't have the answer. I've not been presented with a good answer to the question, though. I don't know what the alternative is. I don't particularly think we should change the game. I don't think you should start saying, okay, you kick off at the 40 now as opposed to the 30 when you play the entire game from the 30. I don't know that it's fair that you should give everybody one possession at the 50-yard line, because if you do that, then you've taken away, if one team happens to have a dynamite kick returner, then you take that player away from that other team. So I don't have the answer. I wish some really smart person could come up with an alternative, because the way it is, I think it's as good as we can get it right now, or that's the best alternative we have, but it's not unbelievably fair, because if something happens, all of a sudden the ball goes down the field and you win the game on the first play, you know, is that it? You know, but that's the way it is now. And in terms of the different options I've seen, the way we do it now is the one that I would prefer.
How about just one possession each and then some depth regardless of the same rules? Just give everybody a chance.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to debate you. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people with different ideas. I just haven't seen the perfect one yet. Somebody might give it to me pretty soon, though.
How fair to spread out the evaluation after the game? Because
Well, we are a sport of copycats. I think it has changed the NFL. I think the fact that you watch an NFL game, and there oftentimes there are many snaps of an offense, ours included, where we've got four or five receivers on the field and no running backs. So I think that's part of the game now. And then the defense catches up, and then the offense goes forward. But that's an ongoing thing, but it certainly I don't think it's going away. Now, in terms of the wildcat formation with the quarterback running the ball and things like that, I don't know how often you're going to put your quarterback in peril running the football, you know, as a rule. I just don't really see that. I'll kind of talk in generalities, I guess, a little bit there. We like our class from last year. They all did a good job on the practice field. Some of them had to play. There are some of the fellows that we think might become starters a little bit sooner than others. But all in all, I've been pleased with it, especially picking where we were picking at the end of the round every time. It makes a little bit of difference. Okay, he wants to know who we would pick if we had a perfect choice. Right, yeah, I'm not even going to get that specific, but hopefully we'll get a very good player. And if we do, it really won't matter what position it is, you know, because you're only a sprained ankle away from needing the next guy. We try to build our team so that we have a frontline group, but at the same time, we want sustainability during the course of the season. And we're not quite there yet, because if you lose a star player, then you drop off a little bit more than I'm comfortable with. What we want to get to is sustainability. Well, you have to create as much confusion as you can on the quarterback, because the quarterback's running the show. There has to be doubt in the offense's mind as to who's coming, when they're coming, and how they're coming. I think the 34 leads itself to be able to create more confusion from the offense's point of view. That's what we're trying to get to. Pressure on the quarterback is the number one stopper of offenses. And you cannot, as skilled as the quarterbacks and the receivers and tight ends and stuff are in this league, you cannot think you can stop them on a consistent basis if you just drop and let them know what you're doing all the time. So that's the whole point.